So what are some threats to informed consent? Okay, what are things that make informed consent difficult? Well, first is deception, okay? There are some studies that you can't be straight up because if you told them, then they'd act differently. Oh, you know, you're going to have cameras watching you. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to act differently, okay? So what are we worried about here in deception, okay? First, we don't like people to participate in things without their knowledge or consent, okay? They need to know that they're part of a research experiment. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't conduct the experiment. You're on the street watching how people respond to somebody being hurt, and you're filming it. But once you finish, you have to go to that person, ask them if they're willing to participate in this study, and if they say no, you have to destroy the tape. You have to get rid of all evidence that you had them participate. It is difficult to waive informed consent. Oh, I just want to go in and ask, you know, first graders what they think about SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay, you can't do that. You have to ask the parents if you're allowed to ask them that. You know, so you're like, well, it's not going to hurt them. Well, parents may not want to talk about that. I don't know why. Okay, but I'm just giving you an example. So it's difficult to waive consent. One of Dr. Chisholm's students, I got to read this because I read a lot of the IRB proposals that go before they go forward, was going to participate in a health screening where they were going to screen individuals' hearing. Okay, and then they were going to use their results. And I forgot exactly how they worked it out. I'm sure they let them know after they offered screenings to everybody and then told them, you know, is it okay if we use your results? So what was cool here was that they were able to use some results that they were going to get automatically without having to, you know, try to recruit subjects and have them come in, and the people could always say no. So, I mean, it's very difficult to gather data without the individuals knowing, and that's a good thing. You can't give misleading information. You can't tell them that this is going to happen when it's not going to. Now you're like, well, you know, they tell you that there's nobody watching, but there is somebody watching. Okay, that's called deception. And when you do those kinds of experiments, you always debrief. So D-E-B-R-I-E-F, debrief the people when you're done. I can give you an example of when I've used deception. I'm very interested in register use. Okay, and what that means is that you talk differently to your friends than you do to people in authority, than you do in stressful situations, than you do when you're relaxed. Okay, we've talked about that in class. Okay, I wanted to get African-American males talking African-American English. They're not going to do that with me. Okay, they're only going to do it with their friends in a casual situation. So what we did was we brought some African-American males in, told them that we were going to record their voices because I was going to look at the characteristics of the African-American male voice. What I did when they came in is I had a Confederate, an African-American male, working with us, and my research assistant at that time said, hey, I'm going to leave the room. I forgot something. I'll be back in a few minutes. So they're sitting in the room with the microphone right out there in the open because, hey, they're coming to be recorded, okay? But they didn't know was that the tape recorder was on. The Confederate engaged them in conversation, trying to get them to relax and to talk to them as a peer. After sufficient amount of time had passed, we came back. Then what we did was we told them right then and there that we recorded their voice. We told them that we wanted to get it in the most natural situation possible, and would it be okay for us to use that recording? All but one individual said yes. They didn't care. They thought it was funny. But you see, what's happening is I recorded them without their knowledge, but before I even proceeded in the rest of the experiment, in which I was going to record them reading the Rainbow Passage and carrying on a conversation with me, I had to know that other tape was okay. That sort of deception was okay. It didn't harm them in any way. And if they were upset, back at that time we were still using cassette tapes, I actually gave the tape. I said, here you go, take it. And so the person knew that I didn't have, and then they didn't have to continue participation. So deception is tricky. You gotta sometimes do it. You've done it in psych experiments. You've seen it on TV where they, you know, don't tell you that this is going to happen and it does and that kind of stuff. But you have to let them know later why it was done that way and explain it to them, and then offer to let them withdraw from the experiment. Coercion, big one, big issue. You cannot coerce somebody to participate. What is coercion? Refusing treatment, not giving them the best treatment, refusing to let them continue in your clinic, or even perceived coercion. You know, I remember when my kids were at preschool, a teacher came out to me and said, "The director's doctoral student is doing research. Will you please sign this so your child can be a part of it?" And I was like, okay, you know you can't do that. Because parents might feel that they have no choice but to sign it because the director may not let their kid come back there. Okay? Kids may feel like, parents may feel like if I let them participate in that research experiment at school, they won't get the educational services that they deserve because of their performance on that particular task. This is coercion. So you have to address those things head on. When a physician asks you to participate in a drug trial that they're doing, you may feel coerced because, well, I don't want to make him mad. So you've got to watch that. You have to assure the participant that their choice does not affect whatever treatment or whatever relationship that you have with them. Okay? That's coercion. That's a tough one. Inducements or incentives. Okay, it is difficult to promise things to people, give them money for participating, promising them treatment without making it available to everyone. So in other words, you have to treat everyone the same. So you can't say, okay, you can get the free treatment. I'm sorry, you're going to be my control group. So you can continue the old treatment and continue to pay me. Okay, it doesn't work. You have to do it. You also have to make it fair. You also have to watch that people may do it to get the incentive. How many of you wanted the extra credit in a class, so you did the research experiment, you went down, you didn't even try your hardest just to get the points? Okay? So you got to watch. People who get an incentive may perform differently than people who don't. People who are there out of the goodness of their heart. So that's why you have to report that in experiments. Did you give them something? That may influence how they perform. Finally, technical language. You can't write something that people can't understand. So you have to write it in ways that they can understand what they're getting involved in.